Hi, this is Pastor Woods, and I want to wish you a very Merry Christmas. In fact, I want to tell you about how God has sent light to us so that we don't stumble in the darkness. And I want to talk about the properties of light today. I would remind you about the properties of light. Most of these are just common sense, and I hope you'll gain a better understanding of the light that's revealed in the Scripture through what we're talking about today. First, light reveals what's hidden in the dark. The carpet and furniture in most houses look really good until you turn the light on. The light shows spots in the carpet and dust and on the furniture and flaws in the furniture and shows that someone needs to clean the house. A pastor shared this story. He had read in John chapter 3, 19 through 21, "This then is the judgment. The light has come into the world, and people love darkness rather than the light because their deeds were evil. For everyone who practices wicked things hates the light and avoids it so that his deeds may not be exposed. But anyone who lives in the truth comes to the light so that the works may be shown to be accompanied or accomplished by God." You know, before he got saved, this pastor went to a lot of bars to drink his troubles away. And one bar was his favorite because it was cool, dark, and usually very quiet. Along with the alcohol, he would get a cheeseburger. It was cooked on a griddle that gave it a special flavor, that grease combined with a thick slice of cheese on a buttered bun made it seem fantastic to him. After he came to Christ, he would go to the same bar and get that same burger. Instead of alcohol, though, he would order a Coke. He would visit with some of the people he knew and share his new relationship with Jesus Christ. One Saturday after he was married, he took his wife to get one of those famous hamburgers. When they got there, the normally darkened windows were cleaned of darkness and the shading. They walked in, and inside the bar, it was well lit. And the owner explained they were doing some remodeling, and so he asked if the pastor and his wife would like two cheeseburgers and two Cokes. Well, the pastor said yes, and he went to the usual table where he'd sat before he was saved. As they sat and visited, he noticed the condition of the bar. He could now see the dirt and grime on the floor. He noticed that the tables weren't particularly clean. In the light, he could see the cook's area and realized the grill had not been cleaned for months. There were dead cockroaches on the floor. The place literally was disgusting in the light. In the darkness, he hadn't noticed the filth, but the light revealed all the filth in that place. When the burgers arrived, he was no longer hungry, and as he lifted the glass to his lips to drink his Coke, he saw the bottom hadn't been cleaned. It had been crusted with a milk ring at the bottom. Needless to say, he paid his bill, said goodbye, and left that bar never to return again. Had anything changed from those years before? Well, not really, but the light revealed the filthy, sticky, cockroach-infested, disgusting place. The light revealed all the filth. The light of Jesus came into the world so we might see our filth. Not everyone wants the light to reveal the truth. Listen again to John 3:19 through 21, where it says, "This then is the judgment, that light has come into the world, and people love darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. For everyone who practices wicked things hates the light and avoids it so that his deeds may not be exposed. But anyone who lives by the truth comes to the light, and so that his works may be shown to be accomplished by God." I was hearing one time a story about an old Arab man that was riding his camel through the desert, and he stopped for the night, and he put his little tent up, and he got in there, and he had one little candle, and so he had brought with him several figs, in fact, a bag full of figs, and he reached in the bag, and he sat there, and he took a bite of the the fig, and he noticed something was strange, and so he looked at the fig a little closer. Well, there's a worm in there. The candlelight in his tent had shown him that there was a worm in that fig. He threw that one away. He picked up another fig and bit into it. Same thing. There was a worm in that fig, too. He tried about three more figs, and each one of them had some kind of worm or insect or something. And so he just blew out the candle and sat there and ate the figs all by himself, not caring about what was in there because he couldn't see it anymore. You know, light is also used as a standard of measure. Light travels 186,000 miles per second, and that's fast. A light year is the distance the light travels in a whole year. It's used on sci-fi movies, but also used in astronomy to measure the immense distance of the universe. Light is a very accurate unit of measure. A man had a stroke and spent his weeks in rehab to recover. He could only watch a small TV in the room next to the bed. The small 9-inch set would only get 4 channels. Every afternoon, he'd be physically and mentally exhausted from therapy and the side effects of the stroke. He couldn't move any part of his left side. It was like someone took a marker and drew a line down the middle of his body from top to bottom. Everything on the right was great. Everything on the left no longer existed. He got into a routine of watching TV from 2 to 4 every afternoon. He had, back then, was watching Jerry Springer. You remember that program. It was mainly trash. But he'd watch people argue, fight, backstab, betray those who were their immediate family members, and just in general, just be terrible people. He took great satisfaction thanking God he had not grown up that way or experienced those behaviors that he saw on TV. He was using them as a measuring stick that was so low it helped him feel better even though he had suffered a stroke. We all tend to look at our behavior that way. You know, we can pick out the bad things in somebody else's behavior, but we tend to kind of ignore what's going on in our own lives unless Jesus shines the light in there for us. The light of the world shows us we aren't even close to perfect. We are all sinners in need of the Savior. And by the way, I hear people say, well, I'm a Savior or a sinner, or you're a sinner. I want you to know, yes, I was a sinner, but now I'm a sinner saved by grace. I belong to Jesus Christ. I'm no longer locked into that sinful living. Well, there's a third property of light. Isaiah 9:2 says, the people that walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who dwelt in the land of the shadow of death, upon them the light has shined. Light can show you the way when you're lost in the darkness. When I was pastoring in the Church of Nazarene in Stevenson, Washington, which is a nice community located on the beautiful Columbia Gorge along the banks of the Columbia River. One President's Day, Marty and I, our daughter Kim and her husband went on a day outing to visit Mount St. Helens and check out how much devastation was still left after the big volcano eruption. And we drove clear around the mountain. It was beautiful. It was forested and scenic, beautiful country. It was a lot like what we have here in Sun Valley, Arizona. The only difference is here we have no trees, no lakes, no rivers, no gorgeous scenery, no mountains. Other than that, Sun Valley is a lot like the scenic beauty of the Northwest. On that outing, we visited several rural communities along the way. We enjoyed seeing the Spirit Lake that had been contaminated by the volcano, and we enjoyed the invigorating beauty and fragrance of the forest around us. By the way, when we got there, Spirit Lake had pretty well cleaned up. God had taken care of that. They thought it was going to take many, many years, and already it was fresh water and beautiful. On our way back home to Stevenson, we passed the entrance to the ape caves. Near Mount St. Helens in Washington State, there's a place called the Ape Cave, and it's the longest known uncollapsed segment of a lava tube that goes way back under the earth for approximately 5 miles. Well, when you arrive there, you are told by the park rangers that warm clothing and flashlights or lanterns are needed if you plan to explore the cave. Well, we didn't come equipped with warm clothing or a good light, but we decided that we'd just go a short way into the cave so we could be able to tell people that we'd been there and gone in the cave. We did have a keychain pin light that we thought might be adequate for a little hike if we stayed together. Well, wouldn't you know, the battery in the keychain light died when we were about a quarter mile distance into the cave. Talk about total darkness. I mean, that must be the kind of darkness that the Bible talks about, you know, where you'll be in outer darkness and they'll be gnashing of teeth. I mean, you could feel the physical, it felt physical, the darkness that wanted to smother us. And it must be like I said, what the Bible describes as hell. And I want nothing to do with that kind of darkness, I want you to know. We turned around needing to find our way back to the entrance of the cave and to safety, and we were tripping over rocks and running into walls and very close to panic-stricken by this time. Finally, a group of hikers came up from farther back in the cave, and they had a lantern with them. We tried to follow them, but because they had the light, they were able to move faster than we could in the dark. They could see the places where you could trip and fall. We continued ourselves to trip and fall over the rocks while we were trying to find them, or trying to follow them, I mean. The rocks, the limbs were invisible to us in the blackness of the cave. Finally, we yelled to ask the people with the light to slow down so we could follow them to the mouth of the cave. And, you know, we might never have found our way through the darkness without injury had it not been for that distant light of the people holding that guided us through the danger. I couldn't help but think how Jesus is the light, guiding his people through the spiritual darkness and dangers of this old world. The light Jesus offers is not a distant, but it is not in the distance, but it does do the same thing for us today. His light shows us the way through the darkness to safety. Jesus said in John 14:6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. You know, that's what Christmas is all about. God sent us a light to follow and to lead us into a place of safety. Through Jesus Christ, the light of the world, we have a path to follow. He is our light. He stepped into history at Christmas time to rescue us from the eternal darkness that awaits those who don't know Christ as their personal Savior. Like the pastor in the bar, the light Jesus shows is safe to follow. It shows us the way. 1 John 1:7, but if we walk in the light as he himself is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say we have no sin, we're deceiving ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just and righteous to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If you've not accepted Jesus Christ as Lord of your life, why haven't you done it? Why don't you do so today? How dark the world is right now. Jesus is the only way to work through the darkness to the eternal light of heaven. That's what Christmas is all about. Our Lord Jesus Christ loved us so much, he stepped into history to become our Savior. You know, Psalm 23, verse 4 in the King James says, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Don't stumble in the darkness any longer. Accept the light that Jesus offers, which will lead you to safety. Tell others that are lost in the darkness of this evil world that Jesus Christ is what they need. Jesus depends upon us not only to follow his light and accept his light in our lives, but to spread that light to others that need to see it too. Can he count on you to let your light shine in darkness of this world, drowning in sin? Can he count on you to spread the real message of Christmas, that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life? I want you to know that's what Christmas is, and I want to say Merry Christmas. Find the Jesus that stepped into history to lead you to the safety for all eternity of living in heaven with him. Father, I thank you for sending the light. I thank you, Lord, that Christmas is more than just tinsel and Christmas trees and wild parties and all that. Christmas is a time when we stop and realize how you loved us and provided salvation for each one of us, that we might be with you in your kingdom in heaven. Thank you, Lord, for what you've done, and help us to find you as our light, as the light that leads us to the safety of a heavenly home. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Listen, you know how to get a hold of me if you want to. It's box 4031, Sun Valley, Arizona, 86029. And if you write a letter or send something there, I will try to respond. Also, you can get a hold of me through my Gmail account, which is lowercase revwmwoods@gmail.com. And, you know, if you want to call me and talk to me in person, or if you want to text me, you have that same number, 623-845-2741, that can get you in touch. I am praying for you. I'm praying you'll find the true meaning of Christmas, and you'll walk in the light as he is in the light, and have fellowship with him and with other Christians too. God bless you.